Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Here we go again. I can imagine this becoming the catchphrase of the demoralized demons that continually brought back reports of divine intervention. At certain points when the devil thought he had won ground in the battle for human hearts, the only thing truly certain was that God's power was available to help mankind. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Satan thought he had captured God's prized creation in an everlasting death grip. But suddenly God announced a plan. This plan involved a lamb, but this lamb is no ordinary defense strategy for fallen man. He is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Just when Satan thought he had God in his crosshairs of defeat, a seed of redemption was planted in the soil of humanity. The crushing blow of sin would be transformed over time by the crimson blood of salvation for all mankind. Satan would stand wagging his head in amazement at God's genius. Here we go again. Satanic trickery would prove no match for the truth. How about when Abraham and Sarah succumbed to the notion that Hagar could be the surrogate mother for the blessed seed of inheritance? Satan must have chuckled while Hagar's belly swelled, while Sarah looked longingly in envy at her handmaiden, while Abraham stared pensively at the setting sun and wondered if he had done the right thing. The great deceiver probably thought, "Finally, I've proven God wrong. His seed will not come through Sarah. It will come as a fleshly substitute by human ingenuity and cynical reasoning from me." But then, in Genesis 17, on the day when God singled Sarah out behind the curtain of the tent and announced she was going to conceive, Satan must have shook his head and said, "Here we go again." Sarah was too old. She was wrinkled like a prune, like a leather bag left out in the sun too long. But then instead of aging, God put her years in reverse. Ishmael may have been the result of satanic and humanistic invention, but Isaac was the promise born in the miracle hour of destiny. Sarah may have been in her old age, but eternity's will was ever young. How about when Daniel stood at the mouth of the lion's den? The ferocious lions growled in the dusty pit. The bystanders gasped as they heard the rumbling thunder of the hungry beasts, a tempest of fury. Daniel's conspirators sardonically smiled at each other for a job well done. Daniel stepped into the basket elevator and stood motionless as he was lowered into the abyss of terror to be mutilated by the man-sized lions. Their teeth dripped with saliva. Their massive jaws opened and shut in anticipation of fresh meat. They paced around in a death circle, and whatever was placed in the midst would only be shared by the swift. The guards standing nearby the rock-covered entrance were used to hearing the screams that usually resounded, the death cries of the tormented. And when they watched Daniel being led in chains to the place of torment, they shook their heads and said, "Here we go again, just another criminal meal for the creatures below." To them, it was just a repeat of the past, just another execution in a routine world of pleading, bleeding, and feeding. They always returned in the morning to scrape up the leftovers, pile up the bones, usually licked sparkling white, and take them to the graveyard. There they would shovel up some dirt, throw in the human remains, replace the dirt, and go on about their business as if they had just discarded some chicken bones in the garbage. But this time, when the dawn sucked darkness from the night and left a pale morning, the executioners led a tear-stricken king to the lion's den. They picked fig pieces from their teeth and made sucking sounds as they slid their tongues over decayed molars. When they rolled away the stone covering, the usual odor of masticated flesh did not accost their nostrils. The stench of death was surprisingly absent. And when Satan looked beyond the shadow of the snoring lions, he saw the untouched figure of Daniel peering east toward Jerusalem. Here we go again. While Daniel was praying, God had intervened. How about the frustration Israel endured in the wilderness when they kept coming around to the Kadesh Barnea every few weeks for 40 years? Talk about creatures of habit. That was definitely one for the highlight tape in the world of here we go again. Same sandals, same tourist map bought 100 times, same path worn deep enough to pass for a dry creek bed. Same old merry-go-round of delay. Same replay of the vote. 10 against, 2-4. Without the interpreted dream of Pharaoh in Genesis, where Joseph, through God's help, deciphered the two dreams to be one, Egypt would have been trapped in the here we go again famine. He interpreted the 7 years of famine in a dream. Because the famine was known ahead of time, they were able to make adequate provision. Thus every year when the sky yielded no rain and the ground went on strike, not bearing any fruit of vine or tree nor crops, other surrounding countries might have uttered, here we go again, but not Egypt. The prophecies and the preparation gave them faith in the leadership of Joseph. They had stored away plenty. Even God had his version of, here we go again. Every day the blood of bulls and goats filled his vision, watered his eyes, and initiated a longing for conclusion. They were but following his law, but he yearned for the day when the law would be fulfilled in his son. Every time the priest grasped the white wool of the bleeding lamb, thrust it on the altar, strapped it down, and struck the blunt blade into its heart, I believe God said, here we go again. Longing for the day when the Word would be made flesh and would bring all of this to an end. You see, here we go again is not just the negative recycling of tragedy. It's not just reserved for the deja vu of bad days, broken dreams, and financial setbacks. It's not just the pessimistic rhetoric uttered sarcastically by the woman who's been through 4 divorces and witnesses the same behavior in her 5th husband. It's not just the slogan of the downtrodden, defeatist dreamers who lean on their canes of old age and stagger alone in the sunset of unfulfillment. It can also, and most emphatically, be the catchphrase to the enemy's camp when he watches God work a miracle in your life. Here we go again can also be the positive visit to God's house, the 50th invitation given to the cold heart that finally warms up to the call of God, the 20th trip to the altar that finally brings healing to the terminal sickness, the pastor saying for the 100th time, God's going to give us some property, a building, and a financial blessing, and it finally comes to pass. The sister who always shouts and dances around in the aisle, but it works. It stirs up faith and it starts a fire. The 14th prophecy given over you in the last 10 years that God is going to use you greatly, and while your faith is waning and your hopes are shrinking with the rays of a setting sun, a door finally opens. You bring a wounded friend to God, and he, in turn, wins a church full of people. So don't get so caught up in the consistency of disappointment and the pendulum of bad timing that you miss the moment when God says, now instead of tomorrow, possess instead of wait, reap instead of sow, receive instead of ask, rejoice instead of intercede, and enjoy instead of weep. Here we go again need not be the melancholy melody of mistakes. It need not checkmate hope or dissipate dreams. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe here we go again for you, my friend, is just another routine of heartache. It's just another day of disappointment. It's just another hour in a cave of frustration. You've fallen down again. You've given in to that alcoholism again. You've given in to that spirit of rage, to that bitterness, to that anger. You feel like you're never going to change. And it's always going to be the same clouds and the same stormy winds and the same torrential downpours. And the tears are going to come and the depression is going to settle in. Here we go again. But I'm telling you today, my friend, I encourage you today through the power of the Word of God that it can become something altogether different. How about when the three Hebrew young men stood against the idolatrous orders given to them in the book of Daniel? The music was playing, and they were still standing. The glint of the golden image inspired no worship in them. The mesmerizing tunes of idolatry put no bend in their knees, for their allegiance was unapologetically given to God. So capital punishment was the sentence. The three Hebrews were tied up and dumped into the flames. The furnace was a large, circular one, with a wide opening at the top and a small door at the bottom that was used to extract precious metals from the intense flames. The fury of the king almost matched the vicious heat of the furnace. He wanted the three Hebrews cooked beyond recognition. And when they were tossed into the volcanic stove of death, the flames lashing out with such potency that it devoured the guards, Satan must have licked his lips and smiled a crocodile smile. I've got those Hebrews now. One would think they would have screamed at once. Smells of cooked flesh should have ascended the brick walls and accosted the senses of all the onlookers. But when the smith on duty opened the door at the bottom of the kiln, he said, I see a fourth man in the fire, and the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm sure at this point all Satan could do was fold his arms, shake his head, and say with repeated practice, Here we go again. I want to talk to you about your dream. You and your dream. You see, you stand with your dream, staring at the horizon. You believe the sun will rise on a fertile field. But when the sun rays erase the ink blots of night and the dew disappears from the blades of grass, you stand with your hands on your hips wondering why you can't even see a stalk, a branch, or a bud. Before your eyes is a dry field, choking you with dust and frustration. So you hear a word of faith, a promise of rain, a forecast of success. Once again, during the night, you envision a storehouse packed with inventory of all kinds. You get in celebration mode, your faith putting together an orchestra of elation. This is it. It's really going to happen. It's really going to come to pass this time. It's really going to be my breakthrough. I'm finally going to see all of the things that I've dreamed of, only that have been in my imagination, but now finally going to come to fulfillment. And you stand at the brink of night, exploring the endless universe with a curious eye. The sun starts her slow awakening, stretching from a night's sleep to give a new day some light. You lift expectant eyes upon the field, but to your horror, nothing has changed. Not one thing. A tumbleweed skips playfully in the wind on the very barren ground you had hoped would finally yield something. So you go to another retreat. You go to another conference, another plan is given, another dream exposed, another prophecy spoken, and for a cynical moment you say, here we go again. You begin to think you should go into the sand-selling business. I mean, after all, you've got plenty to spare with all the time you spent looking in the desert for your dream. Then, on that last day of hope, when you've decided to walk away from the dream for good, you decide in one last effort you're going to check on the field one more time. You stand at the brink of night. The sun rises as usual, and you want something unusual to take place. You cynically glance in the direction of the field. The whole hum, it's just going to be the same old thing. Yeah, it's just I've heard all these promises before and all of these verbose details, and this is what's going to happen. And then, uh-oh, something is different. You rub your eyes, you pinch yourself, and realize you're awake. You look again. You scan your surroundings to make sure the same landmarks are there and that you've not ended up in some other dreamer's field. But no, it's definitely your field. You were just about to say, here we go again. But a lone stalk has pushed through the soil. It's the beginning of several other stalks in view behind the first one. When you look farther, you see that it wasn't just one that you initially thought, but many beyond calculation. It's the start of a mighty harvest. After all the years of disappointment, frustration, and surrender, your dreams are finally coming into view. Here we go again is traded, for I've never experienced this before. Recently, I was ministering at a church in San Diego. While I stood before the congregation sharing about what the Lord had given me for that service, I glanced at my watch. The service I happened to be ministering in started at 8 a.m. I'd been speaking for about 30 minutes when I looked at my watch. It said 9:30 a.m. For a moment, I thought to myself that the last hour and a half of speaking had been put through a time warp. But then I remembered that I hadn't changed my time on my watch to reflect Pacific time. It was still set to Mountain time. And then the Lord quickened me with a revelation. Many people are missing God's blessings because they're in the wrong time zone. Say, for instance, you had flown to Los Angeles from Washington, D.C. for an important meeting. In the hustle and bustle of transactions to be made and documents to be delivered, you hadn't paid attention to the time. Then you find out that you need one last deal-making or breaking document. Yet the building where the document is filed closes at 5 p.m. You look at your watch and sigh with disappointment. Your watch says 6 p.m., and you decide there's no use in even going by the building where the document is because everyone will already be gone for the day. For the moment, you don't realize that you haven't changed your watch. You are still on Eastern time. By West Coast time, however, it's only 3 p.m. The office you need to go to in order to retrieve the important document is not closed. You still have 2 hours. I mean, you have time to go by Starbucks, get a grande latte, and maybe even run by the hotel and brush your teeth or change your clothes. Many times we look at our human situation and tell heaven it's too late. We are stuck in fear's time zone, thinking that God's miracle shop is closed. But I'm here to tell you today, my friend, it's not closed. You are just living in the wrong time zone. It's time for you to come out of that zone of failure, that region of fear, that time zone of bitterness. Change the time. Set your watch according to God's time. In your time zone of fear, you may constantly speak in terms of the impossible, and reasonably so. Maybe you've been disappointed more times than the amount of changes in gas prices. Maybe you've borne on your shoulders the heaviness of rejection, the loneliness of betrayal, and the isolation of haunting childhood memories. You don't expect much. You don't think things can ever get any better. You would even settle for things just slightly being not so bad. So you live in these spiritual time zones that are lagging behind. You don't even pray for God to help you in certain areas anymore. You've punched out on the time clock of cynicism. But I encourage you today to change your perspective of God's purpose in your life. Change your view and your spiritual heartbeat that may simply be on a life support system. When you see from God's vantage point, you begin to realize that anything is still possible. It doesn't mean that disappointments won't be there, but what it does mean is that when you reinterpret them through God's eyes, when you get on God's time zone, you find out that the miracle shop is not closed. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody today who's been through a very excruciating time in your life. Maybe you've just had to file bankruptcy, or maybe you've just been through a terrible divorce, or maybe you've lost somebody that was very dear to you, and you can relate to the here we go again philosophy. You can relate to the morbidity of that and the loneliness of that, and feeling like there are some things that have been released in your life in terms of despair and fear and intimidation and loneliness and maybe even pride that you don't think will ever change. And you're living caught up in this paused place, almost like a grandfather clock that has stopped working, and the hour hand and the minute hand, even the second hand, are all just stuck on that same moment in your memory and that same place of pain in your past. But I encourage you today to make a journey of faith with me. I encourage you that whether you're in your car right now, or you're sitting at a desk or listening to this broadcast on a podcast, or maybe somebody's even given you a CD of a copy of one of our programs and you're hearing it for the very first time, I pray that you will take a few minutes to bend your knees, to find a place of prayer, to realize that life doesn't have to go on routinely bad anymore, that you don't have to spend out the rest of your days caught up in this same old climate of rain and regret, of dark clouds and loneliness, but that the sunshine can truly break through, that the power of the Spirit of God can really come into your life. The Scripture said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You don't have to stay in that dark place. You don't have to stay in the shadows of fear anymore. You can come out of that. You can change your watch. You can step into the time zone of God's purpose for your life. Stop listening to the voices that tell you that you're just going to have to deal with that negative thing in your life the rest of your life. I come to tell you that Jesus stood up one day in the tabernacle, opened up the book of Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captive, the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Jesus came to mend the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. He came to take those areas in your life that seem to be impossibly fixable through the power of the cross, through the blood of Jesus, through the name that is above every name. He can repair any problem. He can take the thing that is broken in your life and not just fix it, but give you a testimony worth telling everybody. So while you may be depressively or cynically or sarcastically saying, "Here we go again," in the face of another job that's been lost, in the face of another bill that's come in the mail that you're not going to be able to pay, in the face of another argument with your spouse and you don't know how you're going to repair the broken communication in your relationship, in the face of another child in your house that's gone off and done something rebelliously or fallen into drugs, and here come all of the consequences of their choices and you're having to pay for their mistakes, I encourage you in the name of Jesus today to find a place of prayer, to find a United Pentecostal church in your area. Visit one of our services. Get into one of our Bible studies. Find out what an Acts 2:38 experience really means. I'm here to tell you today that when you get into God's time zone, things can change. Miracles can happen. Your depression can be moved out for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. You can have peace that passes all understanding, because that's what Romans 14:17 states. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. It is the will of God for you today not to live in the routine of sorrow anymore, but that when you begin to say, "Here we go again," it's from a positive slant. It's from a faithful repose, that you would say, "Here we go again to the house of God. Here we go again to a celebration of faith. Here we go again to a spiritual breakthrough, to higher ground, to places of love, to regions in the kingdom of God and His affection and His mercy and the truth that endureth to every generation, and to experience those things in God like you never have before." I encourage you today, take some time to pray. I hope that something you've heard in this message today has inspired you, has encouraged you, will take you to a place of prayer, to a deeper relationship with God, to repentance if you've never been there, to have your sins washed away through the powerful experience of baptism in the name of Jesus, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to know what it is to have such an encounter with God that your life would never be the same and you would never live the same again.
Every need. Come go with me to the house. Let us go to the house. Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.